For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Well, glory to God. It's good once again to come around the Word of God. This is an important time. Important, as many people, of course, they come around various things and events on a regular basis, and they're putting in the things which are like chaff compared to what we are looking at now, which is the Word of God. Tonight we're looking at giving or sowing and expecting a harvest. So we'll call it sowing and expecting a harvest. And I want to look at two particular things tonight with respect to that. This is mainly not a financial message. It's talking more about the Word of God, sowing. But I will touch on the financial as well, because that's very important to understand that when you release your finances to the Lord, He can do something in your life. He can do things for you. I know very well that's the type of thing that happened in my life. That's another time and another testimony. So we're looking at sowing and expecting a harvest. I want us first of all to have a look back in Genesis. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. Now, in creation, God put a particular cycle in place. And that cycle in creation is not just applying to the physical creation, because if you think about it, Jesus in his parables referred a lot to the physical creation, and he compared spiritual things to the physical creation. There's lots of parallels between what we see physically and what's in the spirit as well. So if we look at Genesis 8 verse 22, it says, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." I just want to concentrate on that one, seed time and harvest. Because we're so much exposed to seeds, we don't understand just how much of a miracle that is. If you take a small package, let's say it's a wheat seed, a small package, and in that wheat seed is the potential to multiply. It's a very small thing, but it's got the potential to multiply to give out many seeds. And thereby, we know that that seed, that small wheat seed in the physical, would need to be planted. You have to be able to plant the seed in order to then allow it to grow and get a harvest out of it. So we start off with the seed, then there's the planting of the seed, and then there's the watering and nurturing of the seed and allowing it to grow, and then there's the harvest. Now, as you well know, there can be crop failures in the physical, and we see therefore that it is a process that's been put into the earth by the Lord. Okay, the seed time, the time of putting the seed in, and the harvest, which is the time of reaping. And that's a good thing to understand, that that cycle has been placed into the earth. And whilst the earth remains, of course there will be a new heaven and a new earth, but whilst this earth remains, that cycle also continues. And it's referring also to the spiritual. Let's have a look at Mark 4, and we'll look at verse 26 to 32. I want to look at the most powerful seed that's on the planet Earth now. The most powerful seed. You should already know what it is, but we're going to have a look at this, and we're going to determine that most powerful seed is something that must be planted. And this is why it's so very important for the church to concentrate on sowing this most powerful seed in order to get a powerful harvest. So we're looking at Mark 4, starting from verse 26 in Mark 4. And it reads, and Jesus is speaking here, and he said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." And he said, "Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." So if you turn back to verse 26, we can ask the question, what is Jesus comparing the kingdom of God to? He says, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed in the ground." And then he goes right through the whole process there, the whole process of it. Goes into the ground, and the ground brings forth the fruit, and then the sickle comes in because the harvest is come. Okay, so he goes through that seed time and harvest, and he's saying the kingdom of God, which is spiritual, because the kingdom of God is where? Within you. That's what the Bible says. The kingdom of God is within you. It's a spiritual thing, but it's compared to the natural thing, and we saw in Genesis that natural process of seed time and harvest will last for as long as the earth lasts. So therefore, that natural process of seed time and harvest is going to continue forever, because the kingdom of God is forever, and we know that in the natural that's happening, but in the spiritual there's a comparison of the seed time and harvest as well. And verse 30 says, "Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up," and so on. So we see here that the kingdom of God, if someone came to you and said, "What's the kingdom of God like?" You can say, "Well, it's like a seed being sown into the ground. Then it brings forth, it starts to grow. You don't have to know how it's growing. We don't know how God has designed that seed, but it is like that. It's able to do that. It's able to grow. Then we're able to get a harvest out of it." So we see that there is an important principle at work here. Important principle at work. And that is the principle of sowing and what would you expect of a farmer? What would you think of a farmer who has sown his crop and then lets it grow and then forgets to harvest? What would you think of that type of farmer? Do you think he'd be a wise farmer or a foolish farmer? Well, he's a foolish one, isn't he? No, the farmer in the natural expects a crop. Expects a crop. You know, I remember as a young boy, my parents sowed pumpkin seeds into this wonderful patch, a garden patch, And it was quite an interesting experience to watch those pumpkins grow, and finally you get these great big pumpkins, and they were really lovely to grab hold of, to harvest and to eat. But it started with a little pumpkin seed, and it was sown into the ground. Wouldn't it be foolish to sow something like that and then not expect to get a pumpkin or pumpkins? There were quite a few pumpkins that came out of it. So we see that in the natural, in the kingdom of God, we should also be thinking, if we're sowing, we should also be expecting a harvest. Isn't that right? Should also be expecting a harvest. Now, there is the most powerful seed on the earth, and we should know what that is, and that is the Word of God. It's the most powerful seed on the earth. If you go back in Mark 4, verses 3 to 9, first of all, Mark 4, verses 3 to 9, it says, Behold, there went out a sower to sow. Now, hear what that's saying? Because it says, hearken. What's it saying? A sower is deliberately going out to what? To sow. Isn't that right? So there's a deliberate action there, saying, I am deliberately going to sow. He doesn't just go out and do nothing. No, he's got his bag of seed there and he's ready to sow. All right? So keep that in mind. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was set, it was scorched, and behold, it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now the question I have to you is, was there anything wrong with the seed? What was the problem? It was where the seed was sown. It was the ground, wasn't it? The ground. The seed, there's nothing wrong with the seed. Seed has that potential, as I said before, it's a little miracle package. It has that potential to grow and produce a harvest. But according to this parable that Jesus said, and remember, you know, spiritual things are compared to natural things in many times in what Jesus preached and taught. And we see this very clearly here, and we'll look at the interpretation of it in a minute. But what type of ground caused the seed to produce a harvest, according to verse 8? It was the good ground, wasn't it? And it says there, and other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. You know, I remember going back to that pumpkin seed of my youth. We would have quite a lot of pumpkin seeds. We'd sow it into this patch of ground. But you know, the ground was this lovely, rich, dark type of soil. It was really good quality soil. And I noticed that it wasn't gravel, it wasn't sand, it wasn't rocky. It was really nice, brown, lovely. It wasn't clay, it wasn't clingy. It was really good. And it brought forth a good harvest. And I remember we would water it and hoe it to get various weeds out and so on, so we'd care for it. So that little pumpkin seed or pumpkin seeds would grow up into a wonderful harvest. It was the good ground that got a good crop. You see that? A good ground got a good crop. Depending just how good that ground was, it could bring forth some 30, some 60, some 100. So Jesus went on to show the interpretation of that, starting from verse 14. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or a persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Okay, so what's the most powerful seed on the earth today? It's the word of God. Verse 14, the sower soweth the word. It's the word of God. What was the problem? Was it the word that was the problem? That there wasn't fruit in these various places where it was sown? Not at all. So where is it being sown? Well, it's being sown into the heart, because it's talked about in verse 15, the word that was sown in their hearts. So what is, this is important for us to understand, what is the ground for the word of God to be sown today? It's the heart, which is the inner man. The heart. Now, this is absolutely crucial if we are to have harvest in our life. Harvest in our life. If we're to have harvest in our life, we have to be able to receive the word, but we have to have a heart that is prepared to receive the word. You understand that? It's got to be a heart that's prepared to receive the word. What happens if you have a heart that's full of worry, or as it says there, the cares of this world? What's the problem with that type of heart? What's it going to do to the word? What does it say it'll do to the word in verse 19? It says, choke the word. You see how disastrous that is? The word's not going to be fruitful in that person because they're allowing the cares of this world to come into them. The worries and the fears and so on. Listen to my sermon that I just recently did, Cast All Your Care Upon God. I address this so that you can have it, so that trouble doesn't get into you, the cares and the worries don't get into you, and you can keep your heart free from that. Okay? What about the deceitfulness of riches? Some people think, oh, I've got to go after the holy dollar. You've probably heard that terminology. I'm going to go after that. And a lot of people, you know, they're seeking all types of things other than the kingdom of God, other than the things of God, other than the righteousness of God. And the deceitfulness of riches is that God is not your source, because all of that is your source. But that's not the case at all. What about the lusts of other things? All types of lusts, isn't there, that people can have? Sexual lusts, there's lusts for all types of material goods and things and so on. We can go on and on. What's the problem with that? Well, once again, it enters into the heart, it chokes the word, and the word becomes unfruitful. Now, Christians, and I'm talking to faith Christians here, should understand that you've got to get your heart right if you're going to have a harvest. Now, one of the things that the Lord has been speaking to me about, particularly over the last 2 or 3 years, is preparation for the church and preparation for the people in the church, and sowing of seed. Now, the preparation that's happening in the church, and I'm talking specifically about Victory Faith Centre here, is to get our hearts right, to get ourselves right and spiritual and in line with the Word of God, so that we can be that good ground. That good ground, and what is that good ground? Verse 20 says, "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as," what? Yeah. "Hear the word and receive it." If you hear the word and receive it, you're going to do it, aren't you? You're going to do it. You're not going to ignore it. You're not going to ignore it. You're not going to allow other things to choke it or make it unfruitful. So, just giving myself as an example, I am a sower of the word of God. Okay? And so I should be expecting a harvest from the people in this church and wherever these sermons go out. And people can hear it through website and so on, CDs, etc. So wherever this, I should be expecting that there's going to be a harvest coming out. Now, it doesn't have to be a preacher who can sow the word of God. You know, you can be working with someone just on a personal one-on-one basis, giving them studies and getting them ready and praying for them and nurturing them. You know, the Lord can help you there, and you can be sowing the word into people's lives. But wouldn't it be foolish if, you know, I got up to preach the word, but I'm not expecting any harvest to come from the word? Can you see what I'm saying? That would be a foolish thing. But I'll tell you, I am expecting harvest. I expect, and so should any preacher, I expect that people are going to get themselves aligned with the word, allow their hearts to be fixed up if necessary, because the word of God can go deep into the heart and should go deep into the heart, and that heart will change to be good ground. And this is what we can expect when the heart is good ground. Verse 20, "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word," it's not just physically hearing, it's hearing with the inner man, "hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. And that I believe is related to faith, the faith level. Whatever the case is, obviously the good ground heart is the one that hears the word and receives it and thereby will do it. That's the good ground heart. I, as a sower of the word, and I'm using myself as an example because it's an easy one to see, expect a harvest from that. So I'm not looking at numbers as such. I'm looking at an expectance of a great harvest as the word goes into good ground. Are you good ground? That's a good question to ask, isn't it? Are you good ground? If not, why not? So you look back at this and you say, you know, what's stony ground? That's hardness of heart, isn't it? There's a lot of examples in the word where people were hard of heart, wouldn't receive, would resist the words of the prophets and so on, and you know, when they did that, all types of bad things, the curse would come to them and so on. You don't want to be like that. You don't want to be a person who you know, cannot endure or gets offended. It's offended by the Word of God. And people are like that. Some that get offended. You don't want to be people with thorns in you, you know, weeds within you, where you've got the cares or worries of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things. So you have an opportunity to get your heart to be a good ground heart, because that's where the Word can produce a harvest. Have a look at 1 Peter 1 verse 23. Now, when you were born again, this was the first time the Word of God came into your heart to produce. And we talked a lot about the gospel, that particular word that needs to be preached to the nations, to those that are lost, and that particular word that has to go out from the gospel is able to do a work, the most miraculous work on this planet. And it's described in 1 Peter 1 verse 23. And notice what it says, being born again, not of incorruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So we see here that the incorruptible seed can cause people to be born again. Incorruptible seed. There's nothing wrong with the seed. You know, the hearts of people all around us, there's different types of hearts. Amongst the Christians, there's even different types of hearts. But those outside in darkness obviously need to make one step towards believing the gospel. I could quote John 3:16, but you know it. It has to be believing of what is preached. And that's the gospel. The glorious light of the gospel will come in, and they can get born again through that incorruptible seed. So you can see that preachers need to sow that seed. But you know, you can witness as well. If you believe you have precious seed with the gospel, you can sow that at an opportune time when the Spirit leads you and guides you to say something. You can give the gospel seed into people. I think we need to more and more be expecting a harvest to come out of that, but not just toss it anywhere, but say, Lord, guide me, because the Bible says that the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. He'll lead you. We are led by the Spirit of truth. We are led by the Spirit of God. He will lead you if you say, Lord, guide me, lead me to the right people to sow that gospel seed into. So actually pray that and ask the Lord to lead you and to give you an opportune moment in order to sow that gospel seed. It's important to know what the gospel is. We defined it last Sunday. It's important to know that, and then at that opportune time when you are asked, or when you can speak, witness, you can do that. So the Lord is opening up doors, but we have to be open also to be carriers or bearers of the seed, and also ready to sow it. But I think what's been happening is there's just been this, right across the churches, is flinging out, and some of the so-called word that's flung out is not the proper word anyway. It's flinging out, but there's been no expectancy of a harvest. And so more and more I think Christians should be prayerful in an expectancy of a harvest, and a harvest in our society. Praise the Lord. This is very, very important for us to understand. So we've got that precious gospel seed. Are you good ground now that you're a Christian? Are you good ground? That's very, very important. You've got to be concentrating on getting yourself prepared so that then the Lord can do a work within you as that wonderful word, that seed of the word comes into your heart. But if you're, you know, going out of church and you're doing all the wrong things and watching all the wrong things and saying all the wrong things and thinking all the wrong things, well, you know, you need to get serious before the Lord. You might need to repent. And God will cleanse you from all unrighteousness if you do that. We're going a bit off track there. Let's go to Galatians 6, verses 6 to 10. Galatians 6, verses 6 to 10. Now, we know this one. We've looked at this quite a lot. But let's look at it in the context of sowing and expecting a harvest. And that's why he says, let's read it through. Verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So we see that the sowing of seed now, we talked about what's the most powerful seed on the earth, which is the Word of God. But there are other seeds that we as Christians can sow. There's the seed of a loving action, for example. You might see someone in need and the Lord leads you to go and help that person. Might be a Christian, might not be a Christian. If the Lord leads you to do that, that's a sowing of a seed, or even sowing of a word, a kind word, a loving word. Okay. Is the sowing of financial seed into the work of God. Now, all of this, you should be expecting that there is a harvest attached to it. And the Bible is very clear about this in verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. It's no use saying, well, I've been doing this. I've invited 400 people around for tea at my place over the last 10 years, and I haven't received anyone invite me around for tea. You've got to be not weary about doing these things. And you've got to also be expectant of a harvest attached to that. Can you see what I'm saying? Plus, what's your motive? Are you doing out of love for God and love for other people and love for the brethren? Okay? And that's primarily what your motive must be. Because faith worketh by what? Love, isn't it? So that's the way we must sow our seed. Faith and according to the working of love. All right? So here we see, we can't be weary in well-doing, for in due season, so there'll be a season of growing of that seed and there will be a reaping, but we must not faint. We must keep on doing, believing by faith, thanking the Lord, walking in love, operating by faith. And as it says there in verse 10, As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So especially into the church, because that's good ground. Predominantly, and it should be good ground. It's very important for us to see that. So God will give you the opportunity as you ask him. Remember I said before, prayerfully go before the Lord and say, Lord, guide me into those opportunities. Lead me so that I'll be able to sow in the right places. Not just fling it out, but sow in a selective place, in the right places, which the Lord will show you. Because if we were to see in the Spirit, I would say if you were to see in the Spirit, you would see all types of dark, horrible places all around you. But every so often you'll see this place of light or place of clarity in the Spirit. Well, the Lord can lead you to sow into those type of places. Praise the Lord. Now, I just want to briefly talk about giving financially, because obviously a lot of people, when they look at prosperity, they think of predominantly the financial. But as you know, tonight, being a prosperity meeting, I've talked a lot about the sowing principle, the seed time and harvest, and getting that reaping and expecting that. And you'll notice that I've talked a lot about the sowing of the Word of God and the sowing of doing good, which is what the Bible links to sowing. As you're doing good, and in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So we continue in that type of vein. But before giving financially, you must give to God what is His, which is the tithe, and that's Hebrews 7, 8 to 10. We won't look at that, but it talks about here men that die receive tithes, but he received tithes in heaven because he lives, and we know that he is receiving them as we give. Now, the tithe is the Lord's. No use robbing God. You give it to him. That opens the door for you to be able to then sow financially and get a harvest. Look at 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 11. And we'll finish with this section, because it does talk substantially about sowing and reaping within the financial area here. But we'll just talk about a few things in this section of Scripture. In 2 Corinthians 9, start from verse 6, and we'll go to verse 11. But also be thinking, well, what am I sowing in my life? Now remember, the sower goeth out to what? To sow. Are you a sower? You should be nodding your head. Yes, I am a sower. Every one of us are sowers of something. Let's make sure it's not sowing bad things, because there are reaping of bad things as well. All right, let's have a look at 2 Corinthians 9, start from verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now remember, you need to be praying to the Lord, what's the right place for me to sow? Show me the opportunities. Let there be doors of opportunity. Not just be flinging it out, but making sure that you're targeted in your sowing. Now you can do a little bit of sowing, but don't expect a huge reaping out of that. We can do a lot of bountiful sowing, and you can reap bountifully as well. That's just a basic principle. Obviously, if a farmer sows on just a small patch of land, he's not going to get as much of a harvest as if he sowed on a large patch of land or a large field. Verse 7. Now, this is a heart thing. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, For God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, if God loves a cheerful giver, what should you be? A cheerful giver. Can you see what I'm saying? Look, it is better not to give than to give out of a grudging heart. Okay? Out of, oh, I don't really want to give, but I know I should give, and I hate doing it anyway, but I'll do it anyway. No. That's a wrong attitude. You say, I love you, Lord. I'm sowing this to you. I know what you have directed me to do. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm not going to be afraid to do it. So your purpose in your heart, within yourself, all right? You don't have to flag it out to everyone and say, oh, look, I'm giving all this money into the church, into the work of God. Well, see, that's trying to big note yourself. No. When you sow that seed cheerfully, it should be dead to you. That means, as far as you're concerned, it's no longer yours. Dead to you. But you can expect a harvest out of that seed. Dead to you in that you can't go and grab. If you sowed $20 into the church, you shouldn't then go and say, I want my $20 back. No, it's now the church's $20. Actually, it's the Lord's. Can you see what I'm saying? That's important for us to understand. But you have sown a seed, because it's talking about sowing and reaping, isn't it? Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. So there's a spiritual thing happening here, isn't there? That ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Now, what's important about that? Because if you're doing good works, what can you expect? If you're abounding in good works, what can you expect? What should you be expecting? What have we been talking about tonight? Harvest. So if you're abounding in good works, you should be starting to expect an abounding of a harvest. Verse 9, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So who gives you seed to sow? This is important to understand. Who gives you seed to sow? The Lord. Every seed you have, in fact, everything you have, comes from the Lord. And as it says there, he that ministereth seed to the sower, are you a sower? Yes, we're all sowers of something. If you're a sower, where did you get the seed? God has given you the seed. Isn't that wonderful? God's given you everything that you need to be able to sow and to be able to harvest. And not only that, he says that he'll multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So he multiplies and increases. So you can see why you need to have a cheerful heart. You need to be doing it out of love. You need to be doing it in faith. All right. And we'll finish with verse 11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Do you want to be a channel for God? Here's the way to be a channel for God. I want to lead you in a prayer. Just follow through and pray after me. Believe that the Lord is going to answer you. Just saying. Heavenly Father, I am a sower. And I believe your word that says that I have seed to sow. And Lord, I will sow that seed. You have supplied the seed. And I expect that there is to be a harvest from that seed. And I thank you, Lord, that you increase my seed sown in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you tonight. I thank you for the people here. I thank you, Lord, for those who will hear this message. And I praise you, Lord, for the seed sown, and particularly the seed of the Word of God sown into the hearts of people. I pray that the amount and the number of good ground hearts will multiply, Lord, not only in this church, but right across this city, right across this land, in Jesus' name. Amen.